Good evening, young disciples. It's a happy day, young disciples. It has been a happy week. For some of us, it's been a happy 2 weeks. And we are going to leave this place. We leave this place with the promises of the goodness and the keeping power of God behind us. We cannot fail, you guys. We cannot fail. If we learn what it is to lean hard. Brief review of the last 2 weeks, as soon as our friends on this side are ready. We came to this beautiful place and we learned through the story of a father and a son wandering like a star streaking across heaven, wandering far from home, and then turning around and setting his course back for his father's house with fear, and the whole way writing a speech to his dad about how he was not worthy to be a son anymore, he would just be a servant, just make me a slave, anything so that I can eat. Anything so I can have a place to sleep. We learn through the story of that father and that son that we unconditionally belong, because there is only one way to become a son, and that is to be born. There is one way to become a daughter, and that is to be born. And there is no way to unbecome a son or a daughter. We unconditionally belong to God. And we may wander, we may spend our whole life seeking another master. We may spend our whole we may waste every gift we've ever been given. God still says, you belong to me. You belong to me. There is room in my house for you. Set your face for home. We unconditionally belong. The next night we learned that not just do we have a home to go back to, that home is a safe one because love lives there. We learned it through the story of a father and his son and his son's best friend on a boat in the middle of a bay, overturned in a storm, and the father had a terrible, terrible choice to make, and he didn't even hesitate because father and son, they knew each other. Father knew that his son was a follower of Christ. And so he turned his back on his son and he threw the rope to his son's best friend. Which son's best friend is you and me? We unconditionally belong to unconditional love. And those two things bring us unconditional hope. This is the essence of what makes a Christian a Christian. This is why martyrs sang in the flames. This is why, though we have been always outnumbered, outresourced, outstrengthed, outsmarted in the world's eyes on planet Earth, we've never been beaten, you guys. That's why there's still a Christian church today. Because when Christians are mown down, they rise up again. We unconditionally belong to unconditional love, which brings us unconditional hope and calls forth from our mouths unconditional praise. Jehoshaphat's story was made reference to this morning. The army went out singing, and because they went out singing, the victory was won. We praise because we have unconditional hope. We also praise to maintain our unconditional hope. We unconditionally belong to unconditional love, which brings us unconditional hope, empowers unconditional praise, empowers unconditional obedience, because God spilled his own blood to give you and I the choice, to give you and I the chance at life. We unconditionally belong to unconditional love, which brings us unconditional hope, causes unconditional praise, empowers unconditional obedience, puts in our hands unconditional promises, and offers us unconditional courage. We can't fix the pain problem, you guys. We can't. Mostly because the pain problem comes from the sin problem, and the sin problem isn't going to be fixed until time is no longer. But what can we do? What can we do? You may find yourself in lowest hell. You can find God there too. And if you do, you find yourself in a place where God builds the best, only the best. You and I have a shot at coming out of the fire as gold. And we're all going to face the fire. How are you going to come out the other end? Unconditional. These things are. They exist. Just like the law of gravity. Wet this rock. Heat this rock. Freeze this rock. Throw this rock. It's always going to go down. Always. Because these things are, we can be. Now we're going to go from this place tomorrow, having tasted, having seen the goodness of God, having had our minds, our eyes opened to a reality in the universe that perhaps has never even occurred to us before. Or maybe it occurred to us, but we simply weren't brave enough to believe it. So now what? How do you keep it alive? You and I are going home from a high, high experience. You and I are going home from, instead of being surrounded by beautiful things and having all the distractions of our life minimized, those distractions come roaring back, and all the ugly things that are the reality of the rest of the outside world, they come back too. Then what? This week we've explored a series of altars. Why altars? Humanity, when we look at altars, we see a place of loss. When God looks at an altar, he sees a place of covenant. What does that mean? That means that the greatest gifts in the universe are given at an altar. And you and I are after the good gifts of glorious God. Where are we going to find them? At an altar. And so we learned that first we must be hungry. Yeah, we are hungry. First we must realize we're hungry. And how best to realize we are hungry other than to take time out of our lives and invest in that relationship so that we can see who we are from his perspective. First to be hungry, then to be free. And why free? Because peace and freedom are priceless. Some of you have found that peace. Some of you have found that freedom this week. I see it all over your faces. First to be hungry, then to be free, then to be foolish. Why? Foolish in a silly sense? No. Foolish in the eyes of the world to whom the gospel makes no sense. This goes back to that hope thing. This is what makes us invincible. It doesn't matter if we die. It is the triumph of the Christian faith that allows its followers to suffer and be strong, to submit and thus to conquer, to be killed all the day long and thus to live. To be hungry, then to be free, then to be foolish, and then to be fast, because any delay, incomplete obedience, any kind of compromise, anything short of yes, yes, anything for you, it just delays my joy. It just delays the treasure. It delays the gift that's hanging an inch over our heads. Remember what it said. The gift is not far away. It's not 1,000 miles up. It's not across the sea. It's in your hand. Close your fingers. Grab it. It's yours. to be hungry, to be free, to be foolish, to be fast, to be faithful. We learned that excellence breeds excellence. In order to have spiritual excellence in our lives, we need to pursue mental excellence. We need to pursue physical excellence. Some of you got excited about memorizing scripture. That makes me so happy. I'm ready to explode. Would to God that we might recatch a vision. J.N. Andrews, a young missionary, first international missionary from the United States, from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, could have reconstituted the New Testament word for word if every copy had suddenly disappeared off of the face of the earth. You guys, that's our pedigree. That's where we came from. Now, where are we going to go? Your mind is big enough for that, believe it or not. Then to be fruitful. Last night we found out that you and I were born to give life. We were born to be distributors of broken bread. We might have nothing. We might have 5 flat cakes and 2 slimy fish. That's enough, you guys. It's enough. It just needs a blessing. It needs an offering. We look at the broken pieces in our hands, and too often we respond to brokenness, we respond to pain, we respond to calamity, demanding an answer, demanding recompense, demanding an explanation. Instead of responding to the fire with faith and hope and love. That's the difference between the man or the woman, the boy or the girl through whom the fire burns and leaves ashes, or burns and leaves gold. I want to be gold. I want to be gold so bad. First to be hungry, then to be free, then to be foolish, then to be fast, then to be faithful, then to be fruitful. And this morning we learned about being friends. The power is in the friendship. Doesn't make sense to me to call Christianity the hard way. Yeah. Do Christians bleed, sweat, and cry? Yeah. Reality check. Do the people on the broad road bleed, sweat, and cry? Yeah. How can it be called the harder way when our lot is to throw our arms around the neck of eternally loving Jesus and just hold on while he holds on to us? How can that even be hard? To spend eternity, to spend every waking moment in the constant presence of the one who loves us most? Hard is rejecting the distractions. Hard is saying no to the counterfeits. Hard is rejecting the clamorings of my feelings. But I don't think any of those things are worthy to be called hard if we actually taste the truth, the treasure of friendship. I dread saying goodbye to you guys. But there is one to whom we never have to say goodbye. That is what puts a smile on my face tonight. First to be hungry, then to be free, then to be foolish, then to be fast, faithful, fruitful friends. Tonight, then to go home. You guys, I really want to go home. Let me tell you about my home. There is one there who is infinite in glory. And we will spend an eternity of eternities of eternities tracking him down. We will never get our arms around the least part, not even around one pillar of his temple. He is good. He is love. There's no more pain there. There's no more tears there. There's no more fear there. There's no more rejection there. There's no more abuse there. There are no more goodbyes there. I will sit at your table, every one of your table, for every meal there. And we'll talk as if we're next to each other, even if you're 60 miles away. The sun never sets there. The smiles never fade there. There's never been a funeral there. Not so long ago, I had a chance to visit a very special place in history. Right outside William Miller's farm on the East Coast, a place known as Ascension Rock. It's just a big flat piece of granite or something out in the woods. And on that special piece of granite, a little over 170 years ago, the fathers of our faith gathered in little clusters on an October afternoon, on an October morning, waiting for Jesus to come back. They spent a long day there. They spent a long night there. And they asked a question that it took some time to answer. I had a privilege to go back to that place. I went there with a number of friends, and as I stepped out of the woods onto this rock, which is just as it was 170 years ago, it's like my world slowed down for a second. And then suddenly, the friends I was with, they kind of kept walking, and I found myself standing in the middle of this clearing, just me. Except it wasn't just me, because if you walk with Jesus for long, you will learn to recognize his voice. What's more, you will learn to recognize his presence before he even speaks. And I recognized it there, and I stopped, and I bowed my head. And the prayer that came to my lips was exactly this: "My God, what have we done? Why are we still here?" Do you know what he said? "I was waiting for you." Waiting for me. Waiting so I could be born, so that I could taste the love of infinite God, so that I could know what it means to rest in the arms of love. And waiting till I was covered with the righteousness that is his own. So that when he comes to harvest, I can go home. To go home. We have one last altar tonight. We've talked about sacrificing our time, letting go of our past, sacrificing our reputation, sacrificing our convenience, sacrificing mediocrity, sacrificing our life for others, sacrificing distractions. Tonight it's our allegiance. Our allegiance. Whose side are we on? Whose battles will we fight? For whom will we lay down our everything? I'm going to sing another song for you tonight. And while I do, I want to present to you this challenge. Once again, somewhat like last week, if you feel the calling of God, number one, and you recognize that in your own life, you have held some other allegiance. You have reserved some sacrifice. Like God could have everything, but you wanted to keep your time, or you wanted to keep your reputation, or you wanted to keep your past, or you wanted to keep being lazy in bed in the morning, or you wanted to keep your distractions. Like God could have everything except that one. If that was you, when you came to camp, and somehow in the course of 1 or 2 weeks, your mind has been opened, you have come to the realization, I want God more than I want whatever ashes those are. Then while I sing, I am going to go to my knees. When I do, I want you to join me here on your knees, that the prayer in this song, the experience talked about in this song, might be mine and yours. It's not a call for everyone. This is a call specifically for those who have identified clearly in their minds, there is some allegiance which I reserved to myself. My time, my past, my distractions, some earthly pleasure. And I'm putting that on the altar. If that is you, then I want you to join me while I sing. If it is not you, I want you to bow your head and close your eyes and pray for the people sitting next to you. You guys, let us not leave this circle in bondage tonight when we could have been free. I want to go home, and I want you at home with me because I'm sick and tired of saying goodbye. After that, you will have an opportunity, as we move into testimonies tonight, you will have an opportunity to stand and testify what it is God has called you to. But some of you won't testify. Some of you won't stand. You won't be brave enough. You'll be crying too hard or whatever. So this call is for you. If there is something that you are putting on an altar and saying, I want Christ instead, this is the place of great exchange. This is the place where love is exercised, where covenant is realized. You're saying, Father, I want you instead of me. I want you instead of this whatever. Is that clear?
I measured out my days. Life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at the world to know how heaven should be gained. Just to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. And I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. So here is all my prayer, expressed with all my heart, and offered to the one who took my place and ran a course I could not start. And when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, he still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. And I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. Forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace.
Every eye closed, every head bowed. Put your hand on the shoulder of whoever's next to you. We're a family. Holy God is our Father, and we are going home. Lord, you see this beautiful sight. You see each throbbing heart. You catch each glistening tear. In your soul, there is a song, because this is the beginning of life. Would you open our eyes to see the realities of heaven? Open our eyes to see the realities of the war that is around us, and open our eyes to see the reality of the love of infinite God. Let us never forget this moment. Strengthen each decision. And thank you for rewarding each with the promise of your power and the reality of your presence. We love you, Lord Jesus. Take us safely home. As we pray in Jesus' name.